This week on I'll Show You Mine, I give Elise the controller because this game's too damn hard.
Oh boy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of I'll Show You Mine, the podcast where I, James, show my wife, Elise.
Hello.
Games that she's never played, and she shows me movies that I've never seen, which are a lot of movies, a lot of games that either of us have never seen. All right, so this week I'm showing you Pikmin from 2001 for the Nintendo GameCube. This is a game where you play as this little guy named Captain Olimar, an employee of a spacefaring freight company who crash lands on an uncharted planet. There he discovers these little guys called Pikmin, and he discovers that they obey his orders, and so with the help of the Pikmin, he repairs his ship and escapes before life support runs out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a big near-launch title for the GameCube. I think I got it the Christmas that the GameCube came out. And it was Shigeru Miyamoto's baby. Obviously the famous creator of Mario and Zelda. He was inspired by an ant trail in his garden one day. It made him think about a game where you controlled many different things at once. And eventually that became this idea of Pikmin, where you are controlling these little aliens that are essentially like ants.
Well, you have 30 days. Okay, so I'm reading the box, the original Nintendo GameCube Pikmin box. And on the back it says, "My name is Captain Olimar. I've crash-landed on a strange planet. My ship is in pieces. My only hope for survival lies with odd creatures I call Pikmin." And you got your little images of the game, and it says, "I have only 30 days before my life support system fails me, and I succumb to this toxic oxygen."
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I knew there was something about a ship and that there were the little guys, but that was pretty much all I knew.
Pretty much just know him from Smash Brothers,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I just know he's a character in Smash Brothers, and there's a move with a spaceship that's based on him.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal. Yeah. It's one of the best ones, I think. Yeah, so I, on the face of it, I should really love this game, right? It's about this, you controlling this little guy that is in the world of the small, and it's got this natural aesthetic to it. It's got a sci-fi premise. It's got a spaceship. It's about insect life and behavior.
This is, as we would say, up your alley.
Really is. But I suck at it.
Oh.
Yeah. I never finished it.
So it's, so you like it, but you're not good at it, or?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
I never finished it. It's really that 30-day time limit that got to me.
That kills you?
Yeah.
You never made it off the planet?
No.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I really wish I could love it.
I got my work cut out for me here.
I'm hoping that you're better at it than me.
So, what about it is hard for you?
Well, the time limit stresses me out. And delegating all these Pikmin to multiple jobs while retaining what's happening in my, what my overall goal is, and keeping all of the work that's happening in mind at the same time without forgetting about any one task is nigh impossible. And because there's a time limit, you know, you play in days. So every day is a certain allotted, it's a hard amount of time that you have to get all you want done. And, you know, there's the risk of any Pikmin that you don't bring home at the end of the day is dead.
Oh.
So if you have to go out into the world and do all your jobs, try to forage, things and make your explore and find these ship parts that you've lost and bring them with the Pikmin back to home base and all pack up and leave together by the end of the day. And there's a lot of multitasking involved with that. Okay. My attention gets pulled in every direction simultaneously and I become paralyzed.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. A little worried because that's something that I succumb to very easily as well. Like games where there is a time limit on something, I always go into panic mode and waste time and freak out and die too many times. So it's possible I'll be as bad at it as you were.
Okay. Well, be that as it may.
But it does look cute.
Exactly. I think it's still, it's a fun thing to show you because it's so up my alley. And I don't care, at the end of the day, I don't care if you're good or bad at it. I just want you to experience this, I don't know, forgotten relic of, it's not a forgotten relic. This strange part of Nintendo, it's Shigeru Miyamoto pet project, but it never really hit the same cultural.
He didn't have the magic touch on this one so much as every other franchise he's been associated with.
Well,
it just didn't catch fire as much.
It got two numbered sequels and it has one spin-off game. And you know, with the characters in Smash, it's a beloved game. But I'm just saying it's not as popular as Mario or Zelda. Yeah. It didn't become a huge hit.
You don't think of Captain Olimar as one of the mascots of the Nintendo brand.
He's not in the pantheon.
Yeah.
And the second game was the one I didn't have that one, but that got rid of the time limit and was more about just exploring on your own time and getting a bunch of cash for stuff you find.
You didn't play that one.
No.
You gotta try that one out. Sounds like that's more for you.
Yeah, my friend Matt had that one. And it seemed really cool, but I don't know. I just never got into never went back. I was burned.
You've been burned once. You're not going to go back.
No.
All right. Well, I'm afraid, but intrigued.
Yeah. At the very least, it's got a very great mood to it with the music and the sounds. So.
That's good.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Okay. I trust you.
Let's get into it.
All right.
Okay, we're back on the other side of Pikmin.
The full 30 days.
No, not even.
Oh.
We made it out in 29 days.
You know, we didn't need all 30.
No, we got all 30 parts in 29 days. There were victories. There were devastating setbacks. Lots of restarting, but we save-scummed our way to the end.
Yeah.
So let's just tell a tale, shall we? And go through and we can talk about, you know, what you found fun and what was just friction in the game of Pikmin. So day one, Captain Olimar is struck by an asteroid in his spaceship, the Dolphin, named after the code name of the GameCube, by the way, the Project Dolphin. It crashes on this planet and his life support's going to go out in 30 days. He can't breathe the atmosphere. This has an oxygen atmosphere.
Hey, don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
So you go out and explore the surface, and you meet these little guys. Pikmin, he calls them, because they are... They remind him of his favorite brand of carrots, the Pik-Pik brand. And these little red dudes.
And they're little men.
Yeah, kind of. But they're a lot like ants. And you're the queen.
Yeah.
They listen to you and swarm and do tasks. At the impact site, you basically just learn the basics of Pikmin, and you learn a little bit about Olimar. You learn he has a wife at home, so just kind of lays down the stakes there a little bit.
I got a wife!
Yeah, the stakes are real. He keeps reminding you that he has a family and that his life support is going to run out in 30 days.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, but he has a wife, and then later on he talks about his son and then his daughter. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole family back home.
Yeah. And he's like, when will I see them again?
Yeah. I found it pretty ironic that he's got one of the most developed voices of any Nintendo character, because he's got these diaries that he leaves.
Yeah.
And so he's always speaking in this internal monologue.
Yeah. And we don't get that for any other major, you know, franchise characters. No. There's such a blank slate.
Yeah. Like Mario and Link, the two most popular Nintendo characters.
Completely stoic.
Vessels. Empty vessels.
Let's go! Okie dokie! Whoa!
And yeah, even if a character talks or something, you don't often get this internal journaling.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the diary entries. Those were cute. You could kind of, I think there was the times when we didn't keep a save, had to go back and redo a certain day, that the diary entry would be a little sadder because we didn't find a part of the ship, or like we lost a lot of Pikmin or something, and it's just kind of like, well, we fucked up today.
Dark Night of the Soul.
Yeah.
Entries where he's up in space like, I may not make it out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the impact site's pretty easy. It's like a little tutorial. You learn about Pikmin with this one type of Pikmin, the red ones. You got you got up to 21 Pikmin, and you got one.
Was that your, I own 21 Kukurus.
I own 21 Pikmin.
Yeah.
Captain Olimar gonna be fine.
Sergio gonna be fine. Fuck a recession. I own 20 Kukurus.
21, sir.
I own 21 Kukurus.
And we got the one part that's in that area, or one of the parts in that area, the main engine. So you're able to blast off that night. And
how lucky that we happened to find the most important part right away.
Yeah, it would have been a real short game otherwise. Yeah, so you get this engine, you fly up into the sky because it's dangerous at night, all the monsters come out. And the Pikmin follow you. They have this thing called an onion, which is this tripod thing with a propeller that the Pikmin live in. They come
it looks
in
like a little onion.
Yeah. And so it flies up with you and spends the night with you in space. Come back down in this new area, the Forest of Hope, and we spent 5 days there and collected 4 parts. A little tempo in the beginning there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely was a little bit of an uphill climb at the beginning, just kind of knowing how to move around and getting a sense of the camera and all that kind of stuff. It's really hard to get the lay of the land when you're all on the zoomed in camera. You have your 3 distances that you can be at, and then you can always shift the camera to be behind you, and then you have like a 45 degree angle camera, and then like an overhead shot that you can do, and these are all part of the controls. And so you kind of have to be always adjusting the camera and so that you can see what you're doing, what your Pikmin are doing, and kind of just like always be calculating your next move. And so if you're not smooth with the camera, that's a lot of time wasted.
yeah, it can be a bit of a bugbear. There's a lot of little control issues in this game, aren't there?
Yeah, little things that aren't like don't necessarily take away from my overall enjoyment until it becomes like this is happening over and over again and I'm getting frustrated. Yeah. But it's definitely just like a little, ah, God, I wish this, come on, just do the thing that I want you to do.
Right. Positive thing. I'm for positive thing. Glass gets lost, yeah.
It does require a good amount of dexterity on the controller just to get the Pikmin to do exactly what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And even if you're perfect with it, sometimes they just won't cooperate.
It really took pretty much the length of the game. By the time we got to the last stage, I felt like, okay, I have a real feel for these controls. And I know, like, how I need to move around with all the Pikmin and what each can do and how I need to behave with each of them and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was like, but in this beginning part, you're just like learning all that. So it was very clumsy.
Yeah. It's the Pikmin school of hard knocks, really. Yeah. Cause you lose Pikmin, they die, and it's sad.
It's sad. They're your little babies. You grew them from seeds and they follow you around and like you keep them with you. They're like, you know, your little army. And so when something happens and totally, like, mm-hmm. you'll face these enemies that will just, like, take a big chomp and wipe out a whole swath of your guys. And just like, no! My babies!
Hull rupture in main engineering. The damage is pretty heavy. We lost a lot of good people down there.
Well, you'll take a bat.
Retreat!
You'll take a corner bat and swing a bunch of them into the water. Yeah. And they'll start drowning.
Just, like, close your eyes. Wince.
It's hard because in this at this point you're learning all the explicit rules of Pikmin. Mm-hmm. Like you can have this many in the field, this is what each color can do, these are what all these monsters' behaviors are like and how you make more Pikmin, yada yada yada. But then at the same time you're learning all these implicit rules about these things you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Where you learn by trial and error, like the subtle parts of playing the game, like mm-hmm. how Pikmin behave in a group and how throwing them in one spot might be bad because they push each other out mm-hmm. and start falling where you don't want them to. Yeah. And things like that.
And just like recognizing, like there's the little tufts of grass and stuff in the terrain and little piles of rocks and stuff that when they pass, they'll just automatically start kind of picking at those because they can get nectar out of them, which mm-hmm. helps them like level up. And so kind of like learning to avoid that when you're trying to like keep them all together and not let them get distracted and lose them. Because like they'll just, if something distracts them, they can go off and be out mm-hmm. of your control and you might not notice. And then they're just there and they'll stay there yeah. until, you know, you call them back.
And it's inconsistent because there's, by default, if you don't command a Pikmin to do something, it's not supposed to do it. But mm-hmm. there are these few things that they will always do automatically.
Yeah.
On the seventh day, we went to the Forest Naval, which he called, Olimar named it that because it looked like a belly button in the earth.
In the middle of the forest or something, yeah.
So this is kind of a cave area. We collected two parts. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention we met the yellow Pikmin in the forest.
Yeah.
And we meet the blue Pikmin in the Forest Naval. And they can go into water, which is really nice. Because we had been losing a lot to water incidents, right, we'll call them.
Right before we got there, I think we had one really big, just lost a bunch of Pikmin in the water. And then it was like, these ones can be fine mm-hmm. in water. It's like, perfect.
Yeah.
Give me all these ones.
The red ones are immune to fire, and they do the most damage. Mm-hmm. The yellow ones can pick up these bombs, and also they fly the highest when you throw them. Mm-hmm. And then the blue ones can go into water. And that's
pretty much it. They have really about the thing. Same level as the
yeah.
the damage as the yellow.
This is where I noticed, this is the part where your sense of direction really kind of made things worse, I have to say.
I'm so bad at it. I don't know what it is. I had to be zoomed way out to get the lay of the land. It's like, when things look as similar as they do in this, it's like you're down low, you're small, you're in the grass and like big stone formations and stuff are around you, and it all is kind of the same color, but I didn't have the instinct of like, just look at the map, just keep looking at the map, and I would just like go the completely wrong way every time, like okay, I think it's this way, right? Nope, turn around, nope, okay, this way, okay.
My other left, I only have one left.
It's just an expression, just move it to the other direction.
What would that expression be for someone who has two lefts?
No, just move it the other way.
Towards your left.
Your left and my left are the same because we're facing the same direction.
We're two different people. We can't have the same left. It doesn't make sense.
Here we go again.
Let me zoom out.
And I'm trying to help you by like pointing at the screen. No, this way, this way. And that's no help. Like, where am I pointing to? your camera's swirling around.
Yeah.
The place I was pointing to is no longer there. It's a bad scene. So after one day in the Forest Naval, we went back to the Forest of Hope, spent 2 days there, collected two parts. At this point, we're back on tempo. We got 9 parts in 9 days.
We've caught up with our lost days.
We went to go like finish off the forest, but we ran into those burrowing snaggrits.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Those are real bad. They're like egrets
that was
come out of the ground.
That was probably the worst boss.
Because they come out of the ground and they have these long beaks and they just pick your pigment off the ground and just eat them real fast. And you have to really aim at their necks to get them. And they're these slender necks that are kind of hard to map out in 3D space.
Just like a big tube of spaghetti coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
And you gotta nail it right in the right spot so that your Pikmin can climb up on them and attack.
Mm-hmm.
But not like, because if they're on a certain part of it, he'll kind of shake and just get them off real easy. But if they get like way up on top, then they kind of hang on a little bit more.
I figured out at the very end of the fight that really that you try to get them on their head.
Yeah.
Which seems obvious now. But the worst part is that there were 3 of them.
Yeah.
And this is where I tagged in the first time, and I went up against them. I killed one, but I kept losing Pikmin to water.
Yeah.
There's that water that you had to get through, which is just...
And you want your reds because they're the most powerful. They do the most damage, and it's these big, nasty birds, and there's 3 of them. You're trying to get them down for the count fast.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you just fall off the cliff into some water, and there goes half your force.
It's so easy to do, and it's crazy how anything can turn on a dime.
Yeah,
in this game,
that happened so many times where it was like, okay, we got a good rhythm going here. We're doing this. We got control. We're, you know, aware of what all the Pikmin are doing, and then it would just be like, nope, enemy took out all of them at once.
Yeah, it could be something enemy you didn't notice from off screen comes in. Oh shit! Or you just take a. You just plunge a bunch of Pikmin into the water accidentally. But yeah, so we gave up on that, got an easier part. Went back to the Forest Naval for 3 days, collected another 3 parts, staying on pace. This is where you had that bomb accident that killed 20 yellow Pikmin.
That was so awful. The Forest Naval had this one area, the only place where you could get bombs, and it was like a pain in the ass to get to. And I fucked it up.
You need bombs to break these stone gates that you have to get through.
Yeah, it like lowers, you know, breaks the gates open. And I made the same mistake so many times in this level where if you have a yellow Pikmin that's holding a bomb and you throw it and you call it back to you, it's going to drop the bomb and the bomb is going to go off. And I just had gotten used to call them back to you, call them back to you, call them back to you as like a reflex. And I would forget all the time that I was just like casually flinging my Pikmin places because I was just like pressing A when I meant to do something else and I would accidentally fling them somewhere.
And you get a Pikmin. Yeah. And you get a Pikmin. And you get a Pikmin.
And then I would go, oh, come back, come back. And then I would go, oh, shit, fuck. Oh, you got a bomb. Oh. And
there would be.
And all of them would be gathered right there next to him and they would just like take them all out.
Yeah. They'd be looking at you in their last moments. No.
What do we do, Father?
But on the upside, we killed a bunch of fiery blowhogs and wallywogs. This is where you got that part within milliseconds of the end of the day. Really, that's the second one he got in at the buzzer.
That was
really
good.
That one was very close.
I saw it and I was like, they can make it. They can make it. I got time.
The countdown. I love the countdown. Day 13, we ventured into the distant spring, the fourth area. Brand new area. This is where you had your galaxy brain part snipe. We started this brand new area. You go right to this corner, and I'm like, what the fuck? You start throwing blue Pikmin up on this ledge. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And then you just kind of casually walk them around and pick up this part that I had no idea was there.
It was like when you first start in a level, you see the dolphin and the little pods kind of landing down in the area that's going to be your little camp area. And in that kind of overall screen, I saw the part in the corner and I saw the way the thing was laid out. And I was like, I bet you have to put them up there and control them from below or like control them from along the side. And then I was like, and it looks like there's water over there. So let me just try this real fast, like as soon as we get up.
Nice. You spotted
it.
Right. It worked. Then you had like most of the day and you grew the population a bunch.
That was my favorite. I liked the days where I could just like, okay, let me take my time and just like get my numbers up. That was, I don't know, that's something satisfying about getting the pellets or defeating enemies and like dragging their carcasses back to the camp and like feeding your little Pikmin and then the onion sprouts these little seeds out and it's like bling and the seeds kind of rain down. And they sit in the ground around the onion and then they sprout up. And you can either pick them right away, or if you wait, they'll flower, and the flowered ones move faster. So
and they do more damage.
And they do more damage. So it was like this little, I'm growing my little guys, and that was just fun.
Yeah, it's fun to watch them go like hop, hoo, yeah. Grab all the little corpses, and those big 20 pellets will really make a huge burst of seeds.
Yeah.
But after that, we noped back to the Forest of Hope for two more days, collected two more parts.
It looked too hard.
Yeah, it was. There was water everywhere, too. But we cleared the Forest of Hope, collected the last two parts. We beat the Snaggrits. We came back. There was a high attrition rate, to say the least. But we got them. They got the part that they had. And then we spent two days in the Forest Naval. We collected three parts. And so now we're one ahead. This is where we had the double part gambit, where we had that gauntlet of fire that led to two different parts, and you had to use all three colors to get the two parts.
Yeah.
Or really, no, just red and blue, I think. No, yellow. All three parts. Yeah.
Because you had the part that was on the higher ledge that only the yellows could reach.
Yeah. We almost got both of them. Got one, and then the other kind of got all most of the way to the base.
Yeah, we got just like right around the corner from the kind of gate of the base, and then the countdown was going 3, 2, and we're like, they're not gonna make it, just go grab them, don't lose these Pikmin. So we just like gave up on the part for that day and, you know, kept our Pikmin with us, and then realized the next day that it stayed there.
Yeah.
That you leave it where it lay.
And so we were able to pick up that straggler, and then you beat the puff stool that day.
Yeah.
And so we got ahead. Then we went back to the impact site to get the one other part that's there. It was a very difficult day. I had a lot of restarts, but we came out on top. This was the one that was in the clam.
Yeah.
It required yellows with bombs to get into it, and then blues to get into the water and beat the boss. And then you also had your reds to get the kill the mini boss that was before all that. Mm-hmm. But after trying at it a few times, you had success before midday, and you were able to do another massive population boom with the 320 pellets.
Yeah. So I had to pick those all really fast. Those were the fun days where it was supposed to, like, this is the last part in this area. We don't have any reason to come back here, so
you got to pick all the Pikmin from the ground.
Yeah, do a clean sweep.
Yeah.
No Pikmin left behind.
I think we ended up with, like, 8 left behind total.
Yeah.
In all the days. You're definitely getting the hang of it by this point. We're fully in the rhythm we kind of get. I think, looking back, I don't know if I really made the most use of restarting days.
Yeah.
Back then. Maybe I felt it was cheating or something. But this game is totally doable if you don't accept, if something goes wrong, you don't keep it, you restart.
Yeah. Just start the day over.
Yeah. I think you that's can the even way like, they designed it.
Yeah. You can go all the way to the end of the day, but if you feel like, oh, I could have done that better, or like maybe I could have done this thing faster, or I could have gotten a part and I didn't get it. Like, you can just start it over and do that one again.
Yeah.
And so if you do it that way from the beginning, you might finish it really fast if you're trying to optimize every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that they have it all set up so you can play it multiple times and see your score at the end and compare your different 30-day runs. So we went back to the Distant Spring for 2 days and collected another 3 parts, so we got 2 ahead now. But we did a good job, but frustrations were mounting here. Because I felt like the blues had to do everything. There's water everywhere.
Yeah.
And or constantly running out of those fast.
Because they're not as strong as the reds. So it's like if they get into battle anywhere, you could just lose them all so fast.
Oh, yeah. And especially when you're fighting like a Wallywog that can kill
the whole thing.
All of them instantly with a good aim. They're like these frogs that stomp on the ground.
They jump can up 40 and just Pikmin like in a second. Fall on all of your Pikmin.
Yeah. And fuck swooping snitch bugs.
Snatching up all my Pikmin.
Day 21, clearing the navel. So we went back to get the last part in the navel. Got the one part for 23 total. This is where he battled the beady long legs. I like that boss. It's like a big four-legged daddy long legs with a spherical abdomen that just kind of hangs in the middle. Mm-hmm. Definitely squished. So it's a good amount of Pikmin with its legs.
Yeah.
So then we spent 5 days mopping up the Distant Spring, collected the last 6 parts there. We spent one whole day breaking walls, building bridges, beating bosses with no parts, collected. But it was all worth it because there was a lot. That was really complicated to do.
Yeah. The Distant Spring had a bunch of stuff that was like, there's a gate here, but only one type of Pikmin can access it. But to like get beyond the gate to do the next thing is a different kind of Pikmin. But you got to kind of like keep them close, but don't have them do the same thing together. And don't make sure they don't get mixed up because you'll lose them because there's water everywhere. Like there's enemies all over the place. And so that you had to really spend a lot of time just clearing out the enemies because they're really like, you know, strong enemies in this area that would just like wipe your entire group out. There was a one of the passes that you did where you were trying to get to a certain part, you kept leaving blues in an area, and then you would go away and you would come back and they would all just be dead because an enemy in the area had just like found them and killed them.
Yeah, I was gambling on that. I thought that Wollywog might not aggro the Pikmin here.
Yeah.
But it did. It did.
Just always assume that it's gonna attack.
That 29th part that we got in that area was a real doozy. That's the one where we had to figure out the flowers.
Oh, uh-huh.
We've been seeing these colored flowers on the ground throughout the game, and we didn't really know what they did. And so there's this part where it looks like you need yellows, but it's completely inaccessible except over water. But there's a yellow flower and a blue flower nearby. So I thought, oh, okay, if I find the other blue flower somewhere, it's a teleporter. So I throw in the blue flower over here, they'll come out the blue flower over there. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they're converters, and you throw non-blue Pikmin in a blue flower and it turns them into blue Pikmin.
We had seen them before and thrown some Pikmin in.
But it was the same color as a flower. I thought, oh, it's a red flower, I'll throw reds in here.
And it didn't really do anything. It just kind of like, they went inside the flower and then...
Yeah, they make the death sound when they hit the flower.
Yeah. So it was like, did they die in there? Was this just a trick? But we didn't... They make a death sound, but also when they die in the field, a little ghost pops out. And no little ghost popped out. So it was like, okay, they're not dead, but they sounded like they died and I don't see them anymore. But okay, I guess we just have to treat them as they're dead.
When I threw the red ones in there, they came out again, but they were all leaves. So it was like
they were like sprouted. And so it was like, okay, don't really know what happened there. Let's just avoid these. Yeah. Maybe they're enemies.
But turns out you need to use them for this one. But we figured it out. We're too smart. There's a lot of that kind of stuff in the game that isn't explicitly tutorialized.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered by doing days over and over that you would get different, like you said, Olimar would say different things at the end of the day. And sometimes we would get information, really helpful information. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we wouldn't. And so these little actual tutorials are dotted throughout the game, but they don't necessarily all come up.
Yeah. There would be Olimar's little diary entries about, oh, I've encountered this kind of creature today, and it looks like this, and it acts like this, and maybe I should use this type of Pikmin this way against them. So it's kind of like a hint on how you should proceed with the boss or whatever. But, you know, if you don't encounter that thing or trigger that particular entry, like, it's, you might just not get that info.
And I think that's also a ploy to get you to play it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten 29 parts, and we've unlocked the last area, which is called the Final Trial. It's just one part here, and we had to solve a three-pronged puzzle to get into where the part is.
Mm-hmm.
You did all of that, I think.
Yeah. It was, you know, you got your fire gauntlet that you have to use your reds to get through. You got a stone gate that you need the yellows to bomb. And you have water surrounding a bunch of stuff, so there's certain... The bridge that you have to build is only accessible by the Blues. And that's all leading to this big arena at the end where the big boss is.
There was a particularly advanced technique you had to use by guiding the Reds from a totally different level than them.
Yeah, it was similar to the thing in the Distant Spring where you had to kind of put them up on a higher ledge and then from below them kind of control them along like a groove.
And they got to this boss, the box to move that you couldn't get to yourself. And then we got through all those puzzles and met the last boss of the game, Emperor Bulblax. So he's just a big Bulborb. Bulborbs are the spotted Bulborbs are the kind of mascot enemy of the game. They're on the cover. You've probably seen them. They look like fly Amanita mushrooms with teeth and eyes on eye stalks. But this is like the deluxe Bulborb. And he's a mean boy.
He's got a big, big shell. And you gotta fire bombs, make him eat a bomb so that he gets dazed, and then attack him while he's dazed. And he's a big boy. He's in a big arena. He'll slurp up. He does a big open mouth and slurp with his tongue that will swipe back and forth and collect any stray Pikmin in his path. And then he also will do these big jumps like the Wally Wogs that is just like a big belly flop. And then as you kind of progress, he starts doing the belly flop more. Big constant belly flops.
The real pain in the ass. It's so hard to get. We decided we would try to get it so one yellow Pikmin carried one bomb into him so he weren't just
wasting a bunch of bombs and also just like having to manage all like a swarm of Pikmin around you when he's, you know, lumbering around, smashing them, licking them up, jumping up and destroying, slapping his big belly down on all of them.
Yeah. But like that is, it's just hard to even get one Pikmin. It's easier to grab a swarm of Pikmin. So picking out one, that was like the hardest part of the boss. We actually didn't fight him immediately. We actually went back to the impact site to make babies. Completely re-bolstered our red population, which was pretty sparse. Lots of time to spare. Just got a fuck ton of Pikmin, came back, and just spent the whole day fighting the Emperor. Eventually, we got him, and with all 30 parts, Olimar escapes, blasts off from this mysterious planet. And lo and behold, first we see the Pikmin start to fight for themselves, and they go and tackle a Bulborb to the ground. So they've learned some sort of self-defense from Olimar.
Yeah.
But then we see the dolphin blasting off into space, and all these Pikmin onions come flying up behind him, and there's not just red, blue, and yellow onions, but we see like black and purple and light blue, all sorts of colors.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. What do those Pikmin do?
I don't know. That's what I said. What are all those? What are all those different color Pikmin?
Yeah. There are definitely colors there that we have yet to see in the Pikmin franchise. Yeah, so that's it. That was Pikmin. So I just want to know quickly, what did you find fun and what was just friction?
Well, for you. Like I said, I liked the aesthetic of it and the way that they're these little plant creatures that you grow and pick, and that, you know, they're cute, and that whole process is fun. And the gameplay was really interesting and novel. Like, it's another one of those things that it reminded me of, like, Ape Escape, kind of. And yeah. It was like, I can't think of anything else that has similar controls to this, or that has this kind of story, or, like, the gameplay plays out the way it does. That was interesting. The stuff that chafed a little bit, I mean, and also I should say, we didn't mention it before, but the music and the environments and stuff were cool. Mm-hmm. The little, you know, the enemy design and stuff is whimsical and cute and cool.
They're all somewhat based on earthly animals, uh-huh. but warped a little bit.
Yeah, a little weird, a little fantastical. But, you know, there's, like, just the little, I don't know, the little edges of the controls that, like, when you have a lot of Pikmin with you, it's kind of hard to tell how you should move. They are all kind of in this big cloud around you, and they drag behind you in a wave. You gotta
drive Olimar like he's an 18-wheeler. Big American trucker. He's pounded down, loaded up and
trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? And I was just like, you can use the C-stick while they're with you to kind of direct them around you and towards things, and you could kind of do that, but I didn't, I don't know, sometimes...
It's very fidgety.
It's fidgety, and I was only comfortable with it when I was like, okay, Olimar, stand still. Okay, let me use the C-stick and just see how it behaves when it's just, like, standing still. But it was like, you know, the usual things that I mentioned later in the game that I was having the problem with it, where it's tough to tell depth perception in, like, because you have your Olimar has a little, like, cursor around him that's where he's throwing Pikmin, or, you know, what where he's going to direct them. And there's like a bunch of enemies that are in the air, and it's just really hard to tell from that cursor.
He throws it in a Pikmin in an arc that lands on the cursor. Uh-huh. But you have to put the cursor so that the peak of the arc is where the enemy is going to be.
Yeah.
So you have to work out this parabola in your mind in 3D space and account for time and movement. It's just about impossible.
Yeah, I was just like flinging Pikmin. Anytime something was in the air, I was just like, well, I'm just going to get right up next to this thing and go for it. Just start throwing wildly.
Yeah. And sometimes you would bullseye him.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could fling your entire army and hit nothing.
Yeah. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn sometimes.
Can I tell you what I found fun?
Yeah. Please.
I love that each day is a puzzle that you kind of have to work out.
Yeah, I like that too. That, like, the worlds, the areas are kind of this extended puzzle, and each day is like a mini piece of it.
Yeah, you have to work out your block of time, and all your parts need to line up and help each other optimize, synergize. It's not a kind game to a perfectionist. Because you really do have to accept losses to just get through the day. Mm-hmm. I love discovering new places and creatures, finding all the cool designs and seeing things in the world. Like, the whole, one of my favorite things about it is that you're this small little alien Olimar in what is a very Earth-like planet, and the game never makes any reference to how small Olimar is. Mm-hmm. To him, he's just speaking. It's all normalized to his scale.
Yeah, we're in his perspective. So it's like, this is just normal.
This is how things look. Yeah. And he calls it this, it's a mysterious planet, has this oxygen atmosphere, and we see there's human artifacts in the world. Mm-hmm. So is he on Earth?
Yeah.
I don't know. Pikmin aren't on Earth. I don't know of any Wollywogs on Earth, but maybe. It's just kind of ambiguous and mysterious. And I love learning all the techniques of the game. Mm-hmm. The things like piloting Olimar like a big rig and effective Pikmin tossing and even just like learning how to cross bridges safely.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I didn't get that until the end. Yeah. Friction for me, yeah, the controls sometimes. But most of all, Pikmin can be dumb assholes that stopping for grass and rocks when you don't want them to.
Chasing and they have those flowers. What are they going to do with it?
No.
You're going to pull out a grass, it's going to have a nectar there, and you're not even going to drink it. You pulled the juice out of the fridge, and then you just left it on the counter. They're all your kids, that's what it is.
Oh, God. Dumb babies is what they are. They chase the iridescent flint beetles.
Oh, man.
Incessantly.
They're crazy for that flint beetle.
And you can't kill a flint beetle.
No, you can just keep flipping it over. And then you gotta at some point you gotta just cut your losses and run away.
A flint beetle at the wrong time in the wrong place will just shoot a day in the foot. getting stuck on the corners all the time.
Oh my god. I amend it. That was another thing that really got under my skin. It was just like, I would be driving my Pikmin around, my big rig of Pikmin. We're going. Yeah.
What's this dolphin coming? Come through, big man.
We're going along. We're going at a clip. We got a good rhythm going. And then it's just like, I turn a corner and I lose, 20 Pikmin. And they're just like, they can't even.
They're just running into the wall. I'm trying to get to you, Cap. I can't get to you. Where'd you go, Cap?
They're so dumb sometimes. And like the same thing with water, where like we'll be on a little bit of a dip in the water and they'll get in the water and it'll be like it'll be the thing where they're standing in like 2 feet of water and being like, I'm drowning. It's just like, just come to me, just take a step forward. And they're just like, I'm freaking out, I'm drowning, I'm gonna die.
And that like, noise they make is just panic inducing.
Oh my god, they're like
splishing, splashing. Everybody remain calm.
Everybody just relax. Just fucking walk out of the water to me.
Yeah, that was the next thing on my list, drowning. Also, rock walls suck ass. I just did not like the bomb mechanics. It was just a pain to grab the bombs, deal with the bombs, not kill yourself.
Such a problem. I would die so often. It took me so long to get the hang of it. And even when I did, I would fuck it up half the time because I, forgot or I did, something by accident. They're just so destructive.
So what'd you think? What's your rating?
I'm hype.
Oh, shit. I didn't know what you were going to say.
I thought it was really cute and I thought it was fun and it had the feel, you could tell that it was a pet project of somebody like Miyamoto that's just like a genius. And like that it was just this fun little idea that turned out to be this really cool, unique game. And the things that were annoying weren't so annoying that, that it took away. Yeah, I mean, we finished it. We did pretty good. It's like, there's that learning curve, but I think it stands up pretty good. I'd like to see the sequels. Yeah. And I mean, it's super cute. The music was really good. It was just like this fun little weird, interesting game.
Yeah, it's not really anything like it. It's very interesting. I definitely liked it more. I have a lot more respect for it now. I think I'm just better at it and more smart and about how I metagame. And, I also want to play the sequels. I never played Pikmin 2, but I do have Pikmin 3 for the Wii U.
Hmm.
So we could try that if we want. I never finished that either. I bounced off of it.
So did you? Do you think that I was better at the game than you?
Probably. I think so. I think I have also grown, though. I don't think you're better than me today. That is obviously not true.
Better than child you at a video game.
You're playing about at the level I was at when I was...
Cool. What do you think,
13?
What do you think were the differences between the way that we play this one? Do you think that you had a... What do you think that you weren't as good at as a kid besides the, not taking advantage of restarting days or something?
I don't think... I was as good at time management and planning. And I wasn't as resilient to frustration. Those two things are very important, I think. I think I was, not very efficient with my time. And mostly because I would get anxious about having to do too many things at once, mm-hmm. and just end up dropping all the plates. but then the frustration mounts, and then I just had other games I could play, you know?
And now you had me.
And you. And this podcast that we have to do. We gotta play the game.
We had a lull, I think, halfway, where it was fuck. We gotta keep playing. We gotta get further than this. But then we got on a roll, once we got over that hill.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, we could do this. We could beat this game.
That's part of the fun. Getting over that learning curve is fun. It's fun.
It's fun.
Okay, so I showed you mine. Pikmin from 2001. What will you show me next time?
It's going to be a movie.
Mm.
I tell you that. I'm going to show you The Umbrellas of Cherbourg from 1964. Directed by Jacques Demy.
Oh.
Starring Catherine Deneuve.
This doesn't sound like it's in English.
It is not.
Oh, no.
It is French. It's a big old musical. It's in big old Technicolor.
Whoa.
It's pretty big and bold and crazy.
Oh, I thought it might be a French ennui movie.
No. I mean, it is. There's angst and stuff in it.
Mm.
There's a lot of high emotions. But it's very colorful, and that's kind of why I wanted to show it to you. We're getting into the end of spring, summertime. Want some big and bold and summery and colorful and cool and crazy. And I remember this one just knocking me on my ass when I saw it the first time, that it was just like, whoa, this one's really... going for the fences. So, yeah.
Excellent.
It's just a big drama. It's like a love story, star-crossed lovers. Just one of those.
Tale as old as time.
Just a classic, boy meets girl, there's problems.
A lot of the movies you show me are like that. They're all like that.
Yeah.
All right, so that sounds awesome. Join us next time for The Umbrellas of Sherbert.
Cherbourg.
I have been James. You can find me at sparkmandesigns.com or at sparkmandesigns on Twitter.
Whoa. And I've been Elise. You can find me on Twitter at impotentyelling. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ISYMpodcast.
Visit our website at I'll Show You Mine.show. You'll find a big old donate button there if you want to throw us a tip.
If you want to become a patron.
For this little dog and pony show we put together every couple weeks for you. You can find all our episodes there, blogs, images to go with episodes, all that good stuff. It's just go look at it. All right. That's everything, right?
Oh, and Twitch. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/ISYMpodcast when we do games.
Indeed.
We didn't do this one because it was on the GameCube, and that's a whole...
Yeah, I'm looking at eBay every day looking for the the best deal on a capture card for this thing. One day.
That's a whole project.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time for Umbrellas of Cherbourg. thank you so much. Goodbye. We love you.
We love you. 僕たちピクミン、あなただけについてゆく。今日も運ぶ、戦う、増える、そして食べられる。